grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you this day. Amen. Our text for today is our epistle reading, and in particular where St. Paul says, love must be sincere, cling to what is evil, hate what is evil, cling to what is good, be devoted to one another in brotherly love, honor one another above yourself. Let us pray. These are thy words, O Lord. Help us and sanctify us in the truth. Thy word is truth. Amen. When I was a boy, my parents were fond of sitting us down, that is, my sisters and me, sitting us down from time to time to remind us of what it meant to be a stenzel. They thought that the stenzel was a good name, and it was a name that should be revered, not that people would bow down and worship it, but when they hear the name stenzel, that they would associate with that name people of good character. And so they would sit us down and talk about what was appropriate for us to do when we were in public. My mother had this thing against us embarrassing her in public, and I don't know why, but she did. And every once in a while, when I got out of line, which she thought I was out of line more than I thought, but that's another story. But she would say one of two things. One thing she would say, which never really flew well with me, is, what would the neighbors think? And then the other thing that she said more often than not, which did resonate with me a little bit better, was, this is not what we do. Which really begs the question, who are you? And more importantly, who are we? Our gospel reading today is that wonderful passage of Jesus changing the water into wine, which I like to, when I think about that, it makes me wonder if Jesus changed the water into wine just to keep the party going. But that wasn't really why he did that. And this sermon is not about that, but the thing that I find interesting about the account of Jesus changing the water and the wine is St. John, in chapter 2, begins that story, begins that account by saying, on the third day. What is the third day? When you hear on the third day, what do you immediately think of? Go ahead, you can answer. Resurrection, yeah. The day of new beginnings, the day of a new creation, on the third day. And I find it interesting that we gather here on Sunday morning on the day of resurrection, on the day of new beginnings, on the day of a brand new creation. We gather as a brand new creation. So it then begs the question, how should a new creation live? What is our identity? What is our name? And what is the significance of that name? As we talked about last week, St. Paul begins this section in Romans chapter 12, despite the fact that I couldn't get the numbers out right earlier, but he begins this section in Romans chapter 12 by urging us to remember God's mercies. And he began to describe God's mercies. He began to talk about God's redemptive work in Christ and how that redemption is ours on the third day, on that Easter morn. And he reminds us also that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? If you are in Christ, if you are a child of the third day, if you are a child of the resurrection, and if you believe and are baptized, that's really the criteria. If you believe and are baptized, then you are. Then get this. There is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And that's not just folks here at Christ Lutheran Church. That is also for folks at Faith Lutheran Church. That's for folks at Central Lutheran Church. That's for folks at Peace Lutheran Church. That's for folks at Community Bible Church. That's for folks at, I was going to say The Rock, but that's San Diego. Yeah, you get the idea. If you are in Christ, you are a brand new creation. And there is no condemnation for those of you who are in Christ Jesus. And not only is there no condemnation, that nothing in all of heaven, nothing in earth, nothing beneath it can separate us, can separate you from God's love. And such mercy calls for a response. This is God's mercy to you and to me, and it calls us for a response. But what's interesting is this chapter, chapter 12, does not begin, Paul does not begin by saying, "Therefore I command you." Instead, what he says is, "Therefore I urge you by the mercies of God." To do what? What is he urging us to do? Well, he is urging us to perform our reasonable service. So when my mom says, "What would the neighbors think?" or "This is how Stenzels act," our reasonable service is wrapped up into our identity as Christians. What we do speaks volumes to what we believe and to who we are. And so in chapter 12, I'm going to do a little review, but in chapter 12, Paul says that we are to present our bodies. And how are we to present our bodies? We're to present them as a living sacrifice. Not as a sacrifice from days of old when the sacrifices were killed and their blood was shed, but our sacrifices that we present are much different. We present our bodies as instruments of righteousness, instruments of rational and moral behavior. St. Paul reminds us Peter reminds us in 1 Peter 2, where he says, "So as you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but chosen and priceless in God's sight, you yourselves as living stones are built upon a spiritual house, as a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." And then Paul goes on to remind us in Romans 6, he says, "Do not present your members as instruments to be used for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who are alive from the dead, and your members to God as instruments to be used as righteousness." My mother, though she's home with the Lord now, I'm sure she would smile in agreement and smile in the fact that I finally got it. How I behaved as a young man, as a young Stenzel, does matter. And it did matter. And likewise, how you and I are as Christians, as children of the resurrection, it does matter. How you and I live our lives, how you and I interact one with another here in this fellowship, yes, but how we interact with the rest of Christendom throughout our community here and throughout the world even, that matters. All too often, walls are put up, divisions are made, which God never intended. Never intended. Not only do our walls put up, but we tend to sometimes we live our lives as if, when Paul says, "Do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds," we live by saying, "Well, God has forgiven me, I'm a Christian now, so now I'm free to live any old way I please. If I want to live with someone outside of marriage, then I can do that. Or if I want to do," you just fill in the blank, "if I want to do things that God says that I shouldn't do, well, that's okay because I can come back and ask for forgiveness anyway." But Paul says, don't be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but instead be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And that is our identity as children of the resurrection, children of the new day, is that we are people who are constantly being transformed. In fact, Paul put it like this in Romans 6:19. He says, just as you presented your members to slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. The point here, dear friends, is that a living sacrifice of Christ Jesus is one who is constantly, not because we have to, but because driven by the mercies of God, we are constantly seeking to do those things that God has given us to do, not because we have to, but because we want to. And the result is righteousness and sanctification. And these are gifts that are acceptable to God. You see, God's mercy motivates our behavior. But the other thing is that God's mercy also covers our shortcomings. God's mercies cover our foibles, our little squabbles that we might have within the family. Guess what? God's mercy covers that too. And God's mercy hallows our efforts. Our efforts are made holy because of God's mercies. Take two people, one a Christian, one a non-Christian. They do exactly the same good work. I always like to use the example of helping a little old lady across the street. They do exactly the same thing, exactly in the same way. They get the exact same thank you from the little old lady. God would look at both of those and He would say, the Christian, that is a good work. And He would look at the non-Christian and say, that is not. Why? Because in Christ, everything we do is hallowed by God's mercies. That's why. So presenting our bodies is a reasonable service. St. Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians 6, he reminds us like this. He says, you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. And this service involves the mind as well as the body. I'm going to embarrass our pianist, Dorothy, for a second. I told her ahead of time I was going to do this, I don't think she believed me. First of all, I want to give thanks to Dorothy, which I didn't do during the announcements, for being here to be our pianist. Our regular musician, organist, Diane, is still recovering with problems with her hands. But Dorothy mentioned how she was felt rather intimidated. Is that a good word? Felt rather intimidated playing in public because it's been so long. And I said, but you're going to do great. And you know what? She stepped up to the plate because there was a need. And that is exactly the point. We do those things that God has given us to do because there is a need, because it needs to be done. And those are things, we do them because God's mercy motivates us to do so. We don't do it because we feel guilty or we feel obligated, but we do it because God's mercy motivates to do it. And Dorothy, God has declared your work to be holy today, because you stepped up and believed Him. So that's that part. The next part is that we are renewed in our minds, that this business of being of our identity of being children of the new new beginnings or children of the resurrection, we are being constantly renewed in our minds. The Holy Spirit is the one who does that. One of the reasons why we're reading Luther's explanation to the third article of the Apostles' Creed is because it talks about the work of the Holy Spirit. It talks about how God calls us, gathers us, enlightens us, sanctifies us, and keeps us in the one true faith, and how He does this through the Holy Spirit. And likewise, the Holy Spirit is the one who enables us to discern God's will, as St. Paul mentions in Romans 12. We become more sensitive as Christians. We become more sensitive to what is good, and that is because of the work of the Holy Spirit. We become more watchful about what the world does, and ever watchful that the world does not squeeze us into its mold. We are only able to do that because of the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit enables us to assess ourselves honestly. The Holy Spirit at night, for example, if you say your prayers at night before bedtime, a practice that I have found helpful from time to time is to, in my prayers at nighttime, is to go through the Ten Commandments and ask God, the Holy Spirit, to show me where I have gone wrong, where I have missed the mark. And only the Holy Spirit is able to do that. And God, the Holy Spirit, uses what's been imprinted upon our hearts to bring those things to remembrance. So you see, we neither denigrate ourselves nor, as a result, we don't denigrate ourselves nor do we think of ourselves more highly than we should. In other words, we're humble. We remain humble. You see, because the awareness of everything that we have been given by God makes us humble. Think of all that you have done and think of the mercies that God has extended to you, all the things that God has forgiven you in your life, which is everything. That in itself should make us humble. Because we realize that we don't deserve it. We realize that we're constantly falling short, but yet He extends His mercy to us anyway. So to be renewed in our minds is a reasonable service, and our bodies and our minds are always activated by mercy. And so as a result, we use our gifts. We use the gifts that God has given us. If it's prophesying, prophesy. If it's lacking, if we are to be zealous, if some people are more zealous than others, some people are more evangelistic than others, but above all, what we are supposed to do is honor one another, and that's what our gifts are for. The gifts that God has given us, they are there to honor one another, to be devoted to one another in brotherly love. And God has given each of us things that are different. He has given us a thumb, and all of our thumbs are different. You are thumb buddy, everyone. You are thumb buddy. To some gifts, God has given a gift of faith. To others, He has given a gift of serving. To others, He has given them a gift of teaching or encouraging or contributing. He has given a gift of hospitality or leadership. Whatever the case may be, we are all to use these gifts, and not one of us, and there isn't a person in this room that has not received a gift, but we are to each use these gifts that God has given us. And as a matter of fact, we are most ourselves when we use our gifts as fully as possible. The preacher is to preach. The teacher is to teach, never shrinking back. And we strive to use our gifts always for the good of others, never lording it over the other person, never ever saying, I am better than you. Just as Dorothy is here today, she is using her gift for the benefit of us all. And I say, God be praised for that. Because we are dependent upon one another. And we can contribute. And as we use our gifts, we tribute to the function of the whole body. We are to give ourselves wholly to this task before us, never shrinking back, always moving forward, never excluding anyone. Our first duty is always to others, and to do our work and to do it to the best of our ability. We're not looking for perfection, but we're looking for people to step up and do it to the best of our ability. Friends, we need to be reminded again and again that we are brothers and sisters in Christ, that we are members of one body. We are members of one body who serve one another in love, with whatever gifts we have received. In a few minutes, we're going to come up to this altar. We're going to receive the Lord's body and blood given and shed for us for the forgiveness of our sins. He has gave His very life for us. You see, Holy Communion is such a reminder. St. Paul writes, he says in 1 Corinthians 10, he tells us that because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body. Why? Because we partake of the one loaf. And so at the Lord's table, we're going to receive a small piece of bread. We're going to eat this fragment of our Lord's body given for us. And so because there is one loaf, Jesus Himself, we who are many are feasting on Him. And as one body, we show concern for one another, remembering that if one member suffers, we all suffer together. And if one member is honored, we all are honored together. Dear friends, this is our identity. This is who we are in Christ. And it doesn't matter if we're Christ Lutheran Church, Faith Lutheran Church, Central Lutheran Church, Peace Lutheran Church, Bethlehem Lutheran Church, The Rock in San Diego. Oh, I know what I was thinking of. Jacob's Well. That's what I was thinking of. If we are in Christ, we are all one body and members of one another. Yeah, we may have differences in what we believe, teach, and confess, but we can work through those things. But remembering who we are in Christ is most important. Amen? Amen. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, may it keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.